Let us pray together. Creator God, you remind us that the darkness of ignorance and doubt cannot overcome your life-giving word. May your Holy Spirit, who first inspired these words of Scripture, shine your light and once again awaken us to the hearing and living of this radiant truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says: O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord."
Friends, come on up. Brady, we're going to stand up here today. Michaela, this is really special, right, to stand up here. Henry? No, we're not going to put them out. We just put them on. Come, Holland. We're going to stand around the Advent wreath. Can we take hands? Can everybody take our hand? Come. I need somebody's hand over here, too. Who's coming? Oh, come here, Henry. Okay, and I'm going to try to hold the mic at the same time. Take Holland's hand. Mrs. Weiss needs some. Can we all hold hands? Take Michaela's hand. Daniel, can you hold Michaela's hand? So, we're all in a circle, right? Can we walk around? Can we walk around in this circle?
Ring around the
No, we're not going to do ring around the rosy. We could say ring around the Advent wreath. Okay, we're going to stop right here. We're going to put our hands down. Mrs. Weiss needs the mic. Can we keep our hands at our side nice? You can hold hands if you want still. You want to hold my hand? Sure. Do you want to hold my hand, Daniel? Okay, we'll hold hands. We'll hold hands. You know what? I love that the Advent wreath is a circle. You know why? Because we can't see how it starts or where it ends. And you know what that means? The Advent wreath reminds us of God's love. That's what the Advent wreath is. There's no beginning and no end. He just loves us forever and ever and ever.
Look.
Well, wait, we're going to talk about these candles quick. So the Advent wreath, we're getting ready. Whose birthday are we getting ready for?
Me!
Well, Jesus'
and
birthday.
Mother's.
And your mom. That's good. But we're going to talk about Jesus' birthday.
Yeah.
And we all have birthdays, right? Well, do you know what? The people in the Bible did not think that Jesus was going to come as a baby. He came as a baby. He came on Christmas Day as a baby. So that's why we celebrate Advent. We're waiting. We're expecting him to come. So last week we lit this candle, and that means hope. Oh, hope is so great because we know, we just know something's going to happen. We're waiting and waiting. We're hoping and hoping. And then today we lit the second candle. You know what that means? 1 second, Michaela. That means love. Oh, and God is love. What, Michaela?
Well,
you want to tell us?
When you touch that, your hand will get on fire.
Right. So should we ever touch that? No. Never, ever, ever. Then this candle, next week. Oh, next week we're going to light the pink candle. That's different because that's about. Nope. Wait. I'm coming to that. That's joy. Oh, joy. We're so happy and so excited. And this, you know what this one is? Peace. Can we close our eyes for a minute? Oh, and we don't think about anything. We just feel so happy and content. That's peace. Then the middle candle, the white candle, what's that about? Whose candle is that? That just Jesus's candle. Jesus's candle. Not Hanukkah. We're talking about our Advent wreath. Hanukkah is this week, and a lot of friends do celebrate Hanukkah. This is for Jesus. We call that the Christ candle, Jesus Christ, his candle. He's the light of the world. Can I see all your beautiful, happy faces? He wants us to be the light of the world. And Mrs. Cohen's going to talk to us about something very special today. You know, sometimes people, they forget to tell other people about Jesus. They forget how excited and how happy. Henry, come hold my hand. I loved when you were holding my hand. Thank you. Can you hold my hand? You can help me hold the microphone. Thank you. Nope, not talking to it. Just hold it. So, friends, we always want to remember when we see the Advent wreath, we're waiting for Jesus, who came, and he's going to come again one day. And one day, we're all going to live together in heaven with him. So we're so excited about that. So always remember, God's love never ends, and he gave us Jesus, and he gave us one another, Holland. So can we look at all the friends out there and tell them next week we're so excited because we're going to tell you the story of Jesus' birthday, right? So can we say, please come? Can you say, please come?
Please come.
Because we have the best birthday to tell you about Jesus. Right? So next Sunday, we hope to see you all there. So let's fold our hands. Let's fold our hands. Okay, Henry prayed for us this morning at Sunday school. Wait, we're both, Mrs. Weiss is going to pray, but I'm going to let you hold the mic with me, okay? Mrs. Weiss is going to pray. We're all going to pray together, okay? Dear God,
for this day,
thank you for this
for
day.
All the fun we had with the family,
and all the fun we had with our family,
and family. Amen.
In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for helping me with that. Okay.
Thank you, Mrs. Weiss. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I stand before you today, your humble servant. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A little background on this passage, some of you may know because I have been talking about it now probably for about 15 months. This concept first came to me when I was feeling a little bit downtrodden. I, you know, would look at the news and would see that things were not going well. There was terrorism, there was, you know, injustices. Serving as an elder at Abundant Life, we were facing some really difficult decisions. So we were, you know, it wasn't an easy time. On a personal level, I was managing expectations coming from many different places, trying to figure out what I could do to please the Lord. And one day when I was driving in the car, I heard a song called Come Alive by Lauren Daigle. And you will hear the song at the end of my message. And that song just put such a peace in my heart that I cannot explain it. As I listened to the words, it just touched me. And so I went home and I read Ezekiel and I said, wow, wow. Little did I know then that that was really going to take me on what now is about a 15-month journey. I'm not quite sure what happens when I say amen at the end of this message because this passage has become such a part of my heart. I stand here today not because we thought this was a great day for this message, but we follow a lectionary system where passages are pre-planned. And about 4 months ago, I found out that this passage was the planned passage for today. And through the gracious support of this wonderful congregation, the pastor and the elders, I stand before you today. So I ask for your forgiveness for my human delivery because I, you know, have thought about this so many times that I'm not quite sure what's going to come out of my mouth. I have a plan, but I fully give it to the arms of the Lord. So this morning, through vision, we enter a valley of dry bones. God takes Ezekiel there. And it becomes a perfect story of restoration, although when they first go down, well, God knows, but Ezekiel may not be so clear on that. We see that when things are at rock bottom, hopeless, God will step in with renewal that is beyond our human comprehension, something that we could never imagine. I see this as a foreshadowing message of things yet to come, when everything seems lost, a savior in the form of a baby. Ever-present Holy Spirit. I'd like to go back to the passage and just look at it a few pieces at a time. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." From that we see that God is all powerful. The Jews were in exile in Babylon and they were not having an easy time. Many forgot who God was. There was idol worship. They were not doing well. I can just see, you know, we say dry bones, but imagine being submerged in a valley and not just looking from the top, but walking back and forth among the death and the destruction. It must have been overwhelming. But I love when God asks, "Son of man, can these bones live?" God knew the answer. Ezekiel knew God was powerful. See, Ezekiel never hesitated. He didn't question. He knew God's power. He knew that God could do it. You know, he was never worried. So without hesitation, he responds, "You alone know." He never doubted. He solidified God's omnipotent power. Ezekiel's role in this story is a privilege, not a necessity. The passage continues. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord said to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. You will then know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And when I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones come to life, bone to bone. The first thing when I saw this that amazed me was Ezekiel's response. You know, when God said, "Prophesy to these bones," Ezekiel didn't say, "Oh, Lord, I'm not qualified. Not me. There's somebody else over there." He didn't say, "Lord, I'm a little bit too busy." He knew God was God. He just simply said, So I prophesied as I was commanded. God wants that relationship with us as well. He wants obedient participants. As Ezekiel follows God's command, God's will happens. Awesomeness happens. The passage continues. I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. When I read this part of the passage, I remember when I was walking in the park. I often walk with my dog. And I was reading this passage, and all of a sudden, I hear, wow, God's plans might take time. And this is the part that I really have been focusing on. God's plan might take time. Change can be a process. See, the bones, when Ezekiel listened the first time, the bones came to life. They didn't have breath. The people were not fully restored. God could have said to Ezekiel, do this, and woo, everything could have been done. But that's not what God did. He made it a process. They came together. They were shells, almost like a person. It looked like a person, but inside there was no breath. Again, Ezekiel responds, I prophesied as I was commanded. You know, he didn't give up. You know, he didn't say, God, you told me to do this and you would restore your people, but hey, I did it and now look, it's not done yet. He had total faith in God. Even when he knew the plan, when the first part didn't turn out perhaps the way, wasn't a finished job, he just had faith. It is amazing to me, his obedience to God, his faith. He never wavered. So then he gives them that second piece. And the breath now comes. Come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live. Wind blows. Breath enters. These shells are now alive. In fact, the passage says it's an army. So now we have bones that were dry and brittle and on the ground becoming human flesh, breathing. Alive by God's word, which Ezekiel was allowed to participate. It's amazing, but the best still yet to come, still. So at the end of the passage we look at, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people. I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am Lord. When I open your graves and I bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land, and then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. God foretells a future where his kingdom is fully restored. You see, physical restoration of the body is not enough. You know, it's not enough just to be living and breathing and moving. He was going to raise them out of their graves because they're separated from God. He was going to provide a gracious gift of a Savior. He's going to put his spirit in them so they can truly, truly live. The Holy Spirit. They will fully recognize and acknowledge that he is God alone. They will be restored and called home. What does a valley of dry bones so long ago have to do with today? At times, I think we feel like we live in a society that has truly abandoned God, perhaps dry bones in a valley. Hate, violence, intolerance. Church pews seem to be emptying and financial resources are dwindling. People find God when it's convenient for them, when they perhaps might be down in that valley alone. Personally, we have family pressures. There's so many things that I think that we certainly sometimes feel like we are in that valley. In this holy season of Advent, as we wait, we remember God the Almighty has it under control. He is all-powerful. He has a plan for our broken selves and our broken world. Through the gracious gift of a baby, his son, Jesus, we will be restored with God eternally. And lastly, we are privileged to participate. Our time on earth is a time of growth and obedience. Life is not easy, but we don't have to walk it alone. The Holy Spirit is ever present, guiding, and instructing us. A world that doesn't focus on God, people worshiping other things, human struggles among his people, this is nothing new for God Almighty. He has a plan, a perfect plan. And as we leave here today, our call is twofold. Never, ever lose hope in our God Almighty. His plans never fail. And when you are invited to participate, and you are a lot, respond like Ezekiel. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the ways that you allow your word to touch us as individuals. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand before your people today. Lord, may your will be done here and across the world, and may we be privileged to participate. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.